Thunderdome Metal Reviews, we really care about our listeners. And if you are having a legal incident and need to know who you're going to get on the case, we have an answer for you in this episode. As we continue our October spooktacular listening to the discography and bits and pieces of one Mr. Ozzian Osbourne. The Reverend Dangerously, with me tonight are Tracy Newport and Gabe Cooper. David is off on assignment, doing things other than talking about Ozzy Osbourne albums. How are we doing tonight, gentlemen?
He's doing things for God and country.
Indeed.
But I mean, I'm doing pretty good.
My Jekyll doesn't hide.
You're just in denial about that.
Indeed. So yes. We are talking tonight about what would be the seventh studio album by Ozzy Osbourne, released on October 23rd of 1995, a whole whopping 4 years after his last album, during which time Ozzy retired and unretired and, you know, did all the things. The title of the album is Osmosis. It has a runtime of a sleek, he said, not sarcastically at all, 56 minutes and 45 seconds, released on Epic, produced by Michael Bainhorn. The personnel on this album: Ozzy Osbourne vocals, Zach Wilde on guitar, Geezer Butler on bass, Dean Castronova on drums, Wakeman on keyboards. Michael Bainhorn also played some keyboards on it. So, what do we think of this one?
When did Plastic Planet release? I'm sorry, that's just... I'm trying to timeline. It's 1995 as well.
Yeah, 1995, right?
Yeah. So this is like, I guess Geezer's like, fuck you, Tony. I'm done with you at this point in time. Because like, I'm going back to Ozzy. Because that was a very interesting to hear about the lineup coming into this, that Geezer had rejoined for the song, or teamed up, is a better sense.
I mean, he had been like in videos and stuff for Ozzy through the years.
Yeah.
So they still had a friendly relationship.
Yeah. That reminds me, I was listening to an Ozzy interview and somebody asked him a question about some rights with Black Sabbath stuff. And him and Tony about it, he's like, me and Tony don't talk about that. That's for the lawyers to deal with. We just don't touch it. It's kind of like they figure out a way that they just let the lawyers argue and they just don't talk about it because it causes a rift between them, in a sense, which I think is a very interesting way to handle some stuff like that. Maybe if Dino and Burton Seabell kind of had the same mentality. But what you think? I told you this a little bit ago that a friend of mine, my brother's friend in high school, had this album a lot. And as I was listening to it, a lot of like songs were like percolating back into my memory. Like, oh yeah, I remember this song. So like, I've known this album, but haven't sat down and heard it in a very long time.
Yeah, and as I was saying, I haven't heard any of these records before, so it's totally new for me. I actually thought that this album sounded really great. It's a really fantastic produced record. Unfortunately, a lot of the songs aren't super interesting, so that's a bummer. And they also kind of go on for a while. But what I did notice too was that I was impressed by Ozzy's vocal performance on this record, even if it seems like it's a little bit overdone. And if you read a little bit about the record, you see that he was worked to the bone by the producer to get whatever sound that he got. So I think it was worth it. So, you know, I just wish that more of the songs on this album hit the level of, you know, some of the best ones on the 80s records. But I guess you get what you get.
Yeah, this is a return to the uneven albums of the 80s, in my opinion. I think it sounds pretty cool. I mean, they brought in a lot of writers. They like Lemmy's back on this, T-Vi's on this, as writers. But man, some of these songs just aren't it. I think it sounds good, to Gabe's point. It's an incredibly well-produced album. But it's so odd to me that, and maybe it was just a case of because there were so many songwriters, too many cooks in the kitchen, or whatever you want to say, that for somebody who had been pretty consistently releasing albums. And he retires and then goes off and comes back. And the tracks on this album that hit, I think, hit really hard. But man, a lot of it, it's just, I guess I didn't say what was surprising. It surprised me to take that long of a layoff and have this many talented songwriters and only come up with like four good songs.
Yeah, like this album reminded me a lot of when we did Wheel, that very first, like our third, fourth album we did, when you said it was a lot of like great musicians playing together, just weren't playing the same songs. And I feel like this is might be Ozzy's most, I don't want to say different album. I think he does the sense of like the most different things on his album compared to his previous albums, that he's really trying to get out there and branch his subjects. Like Ozzy, all the musicians in this album are on point, but it's just stuff feels off a lot of the time. It, like Ozzy's come back from retirement, apparently he'd been getting healthy, sober, been in the gym, like actually had the gotten his body in a shape to where he could handle touring and performing again. And I feel like that just, it's there, but a lot of things just misses. But when it does go good, I think it goes well, really well, but I think it's few and far between on this album.
Yeah. I definitely can't really argue with that.
And did you purchase this album when it came out? Like coming off of No More Tears kind of deal, or was it?
Yes. I don't know that I got it right away, but I know that I did get it. Probably because of the lead single, which I referenced in the open, Perry Mason, seeing the video for that and hearing that song, which I think is really, really good. Not to get into songs too early. So I did get it, but I didn't listen to it nowhere near as much. It was just one of those things that I was just like, oh, and I spun it one time and I was like, oh, this is, and especially as much as I liked No More Tears, you know, I was like, hell yeah, this is a follow-up. And it was in fact a follow-up, just not quite as good.
I think it would be actually really interesting to listen to this and Plastic Planet back to back, because I think they are kind of similar in some ways, in the sense that they have this sleek sound to them, but ultimately both for me don't amount to very much. Or like the amazing sound doesn't automatically mean that it's an amazing record, you know what I mean? I think that there are some good songs on it, and to the extent that this album for me is not as disappointing as some of the records from the 80s, but at the same time it's also not that impressive. And that said, like, it's got some pretty impressive people on it, and maybe it should be better. So I don't know what exactly to chalk that up to. Oh, maybe also to the piano ballad. Not here for it.
I feel like that's a Zach Wilde touch there. Because,
well, he does like his piano ballads, but I don't know.
Well, when did he start his solo stuff? Like, it was around this time, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was actually some controversy, like, about whether he would stay in the band, even though he played on the album. Because I don't think he actually was in Ozzy's band for this tour, because he had his solo projects going on.
Gotcha. Okay. Like, I knew Pride and Glory was 94, I believe.
Maybe 92, but somewhere between 92 and 94.
Yeah. And so, like, he kind of, I guess, stepped out of Ozzy's shadow, which was kind of like, and you could definitely tell it's Zach Wilde playing this album, like, on the in the studio. But, yeah. And I think it's just that first time back and trying to get everything figured out. But, man, I do remember this album from high school. Middle school, high school. Granted, it was a couple years after it came out, but I still remember it. I was looking at the album covers, and this is the first album cover Ozzy Soaker that he's not actually featured on the album cover.
Is that unless not him on the album cover? I thought it was.
May or may not be, but you can't tell it's him.
Okay.
At least from the little thumbnail they give us on Spotify.
I mean, as somebody who is doing an Ozzy Osbourne pose. So it might not be Ozzy Osbourne, but it's somebody doing an Ozzy Osbourne pose. With
you mean a Nosferatu pose?
Also a Nosferatu. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know whether it is or not.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like all the other ones. Ozzy's definitely front and center in some kind of character, or he's the main focal point in the album cover.
Yeah,
I think it's only Down to Earth is the only other one he's not on, which is the one that follows us in 2001.
Mm. All right, could very well not be him then.
He learned out of his ways. Like, I got to put myself on the cover for the album to be good, and so he's just sticking with it going forward.
Let me also say, to echo a complaint that Gabe had about the last album, which I think is even more true for this one, way too long. I don't need 56 minutes of Ozzy Osbourne in one album.
Yeah. Like, I can do 56 minutes, No More Tears, because every song on there I think is decently well done. But here it's so uneven. It's hit or miss a lot. And so coming in for 56 minutes, you're kind of like, well, maybe, maybe not. But
at least one of these songs has a 2-minute intro. get out of here, like, go home, you know.
What song was that?
It's a song that I like, actually, so we're gonna save that.
Oh,
you can tell I like it because I like it in spite of that stupid 2-minute intro.
So if it wouldn't have been 2 minutes on that intro, it'd been one of the greatest songs of all time,
possibly, quite possibly in the running.
Yeah,
well, I'm ready to go to text. I don't think I have anything else to say about it.
I'm ready as well.
I will go first. That way we can hold on to the reveal of Gabe's super long intro song that he likes a little bit longer. Perry Mason, fire ass opener. Really love it. I Just Want You, pretty good follow up. See You on the Other Side, Lemmy adding his magic again. And Old LA Tonight is all right, but the rest of them I'm just kind of like, eh. On.
Interesting, because I am totally different than you on this. So Perry Mason, I agree, is pretty good. I Just Want You, okay, but I don't think it's a decent follow-up, but I don't think it's fantastic or nothing. I like Thunder Underground, Denial, and Whole World's Falling Down.
Was that on a bonus track?
Yes.
Okay.
I thought I'd, damn it. I'd looked up and like, oh, let's check the album and see where I need to cut these off as. And Google had Amy listed on it as the last track. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, it was the 2002 reissue.
Fuck. Oh, LA Tonight. Well, shit. Well, sorry, guys. I did a little extra credit.
That's not, it's to your benefit. So. No,
I
always
got one
necessary.
Good track out of it.
You did. That's a win. So I thought Perry Mason was a decent opener. I think I Just Want You is really catchy. I like Ghost Behind My Eyes. Has a really good groove to it. Thunder Underground, I feel like that should have been slower to get that, you know, sludge doom type vibe. That would have been a Sabbath throwback, but it's not. Denial is okay. My Little Man is sappy, but, you know, I dig it because I'm a dad. And My Jekyll Doesn't Hyde is the one with the 2-minute intro. That's very good.
I can see it.
All right. Well, time to grade this thing.
Ready? I'll go first. I'm going to give this a B- at 81.
I think I liked it a little bit better than Tracy did. I'm going to give it a B.
I think you both liked it a little bit better than I did. I'm going to give it a C+.
even though you like Perry Mason so much?
Oh, I love Perry Mason. That's a great, great song. But I mean, it's like one song out of, you know, 8 or 9. So.
Yeah. Well, I was contemplating giving it a C+, but I'm like, I like it just a bit more than Bark at the Moon. And Bark at the Moon was so one track dominated for me that I think this deserved just slightly better than it, but yeah, on par with Ultimate Sin. So yeah.
Obviously, I think it's a little worse than Ultimate Sin, but you know, I think it's just my expectations going into it were probably a little too high coming off of No More Tears. And you know, if when you look at the songwriters on it, you think it should be a phenomenal album, but that doesn't always work out that way.
Yeah, I think this is one of those situations where it suffers from too many cooks, not enough, too many cooks in a kitchen to an extent.
Yeah. All right. So what are we doing next time?
Well,
first, actually, never mind. First, what is our aggregate grade?
Our aggregate for this, for Osmosis, is an 81. In terms of buying this, I think I would skip it.
I'd probably just stick to the singles. There's no reason for me to own this.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way.
Next, I alluded to it earlier, as we continue our trek down this, the rest of the Wicked Tour, as we do Down to Earth, his 2001 Noise.
Noise.
Yep, indeed.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to Thunder Dome Metal Reviews.
Tune in next time. Ba-cow. Ba-cow.